So we're in batch number 5. It's Tim and Uta. We've got 4 more news stories for you for this edition of Update Talking News Stoke. And I'm going to give you a headline. So my headlines coming up are Stokey Frank found love in Thailand, but now they've got a market stall together. How romantic, especially with for Valentine's Day not long gone. An axe-wielding woman chased man through Hanley as bystanders laughed. Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? It'll be interesting to hear about that. And Uta has coming up.
Well, I calmed that down a little bit with a film premiere, because a film was shot in North Staffordshire. And the government approves £16.8 million bailout loan for Stoke-on-Trent City Council.
Amazing. And not any film either, a sci-fi film. So Uta's going to kick off with the first story.
Okay. So the Independent sci-fi film, shot in North Staffordshire premieres this weekend. A grassroots sci-fi film shot entirely in the West Midlands with a cast of 150 local actors is premiering this weekend. Is it really this weekend? I should have a look at the date. But anyway, set in the universe of Doctor Who, Exit to Exilon tells the story of a group of human settlers on another planet. Writer and director Dave Fisher has been making independent films with his friends at the Kidsgrove and District Amateur Cinema Company since 1976. And the 61-year-old now lives in London, but prides himself on filming his stories in his hometown with the help of up and upcoming actors from the area. So Dave told Stoke-on-Trent Live, "We were all friends at Clough Hall Comprehensive School in Kidsgrove, and we started making films in the 70s. After we'd made about 10, we stopped in 1984 because we felt we'd grown up, but that was a big mistake. So once we got into our 50s, we began shooting again and have continued to do so since 2016. Since then, we've done a zombie film, a Victorian ghost story, and Macbeth. We film all of them in Kidsgrove with local actors. The cinematic troupe's last forage into filmmaking is a thrilling sci-fi adventure. The fan film hopes to capture the essence of the popular BBC series Doctor Who." Dave explained, "This is a story about Golden Vision, a company that offers a golden opportunity to people who've had enough of life on Earth to get together on a spaceship and fly halfway across the galaxy and start a civilization on a new planet. But this turns out to be a very bad idea, because the Crooked Company are a front for one of the most evil, ruthless and genocidal species in the galaxy, the Daleks. Essentially, it's a story about a group of people who make a series of terrible decisions, starting with, let's go to Exilon, which is the planet they go to. And then they find it very difficult to accept they've made the wrong choices. In fact, they'll argue themselves blue in the face and say, no, this is the best thing that's ever happened to us. Well, the question is, no, this is the best thing that's ever happened to us? Well, even though they're living on an infertile planet in houses made out of fertilizer sacks. Well, that's a story. The Passion Project was shot on a very minimal budget. Well, I get so. Thanks to the help of a dedicated cast and crew who worked for free. Dave said there was almost no budget for this film. We made this one with around £1,000. Everyone who participated did so for free, apart from a few of the professional actors who were compensated with homemade wine. Whenever we need anything for scenery, the bottom line is always, is it free? We only spend money when absolutely necessary. We've got lots of great local performers. We've got a cast of 150. Admittedly, they are not all from Kidsgrove, but most of them are, and we have some great performances. You know, the story is extremely well told. There isn't a point where you go, oh, they are not very good. The actors never drop the ball like that, which isn't something you can always say about telly. Like the rest of the group's portfolio, the decision was made to film almost entirely locally. Although Dave's house serves as a semi-detached film studio, much of the local location work was done in Kidsgrove, at the Canal Tavern, Wade Centre and the New King's School, as well as on top of nearby Mowcop and Cannock Chase. He added, "The principal reason we like to shoot in the local area is because that's where we started. And part of the challenge is that we grew up with the idea of, oh, well, all these wonderful things happen in established, faraway places like London. They can't possibly happen in Kidsgrove because it's just too ordinary. But I think Kidsgrove is far from ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's full of talented, wonderful people, and it's got some fantastic scenery. You shouldn't put any limits on your ambitions simply because you live in Kidsgrove or Stoke-on-Trent. The premiere takes place at Butt Lane Community Centre, 52 Lower Ash Road, Kidsgrove, ST71DG, on Sunday, this Sunday, February 23rd, starting at 2 p.m. General admission tickets can be bought for £5 on the door, and I'm sure you can see the film straight after. Over to you, Tim.
Brilliant. That sounds incredibly interesting. So, Stokey Frank found love in Thailand, but now they've got a market stall together. A couple are taking food to another level after setting up a new Asian food delivery service and small eatery. Frank Marshall, who formerly ran FM Removals and Frank's Gardening Services until he retired last year, wants to give the people of Stoke-on-Trent and beyond a healthy Thai meal that they'll never forget. Frank's wife, Ratri Arroy, moved to the city from Thailand and cooks all the food with her own hands, making sure to put love and care into every order. The couple set up a Facebook page for the business, Arroy Taste of Thailand, back in November last year, and have since advanced to Stoke Indoor Market on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. The 70-year-old and his wife live in Blurton, but are happy to deliver anywhere in Stoke-on-Trent, North Staffordshire or Cheshire. They believe they make the best Thai food in the area, and so far they've had fabulous reviews from customers. Frank said, "We're 8 weeks old now, we've done 9 Thai nights in different pubs around the city, and we've had brilliant reviews from all of them. We've had customers from Chesterton, Fallsbury, Newcastle, Longton, who had food delivered, and one lady, Laura Davies, left us a lovely review on Facebook. We make the best food in Stoke-on-Trent that's Thai, and I honestly believe that, so I want to get the message out about how good our food is. Arroy Taste of Thailand is about quality, passion and professionalism. The food is stunning. All I have to do is convince people to put it in their mouths, and then the food speaks for itself, and my job is done. I'm about success, not money. I want to be successful so I can give food to people who need it in the winter. I've given out 64 free meals so far, and I ask for nothing but a ruthless score of 1 to 10. And I've had 1 9, and the rest were all 10s. We serve fresh food using fresh ingredients, and the food is healthy. I believe in tradition with markets and pubs. That's why we're at Stoke Market 3 days a week, and it's why we've been doing pop-ups in pubs. They have to stay because we've lost everything else. We want to do more food markets and festivals, and we're hoping to have 2 food vans by the end of the year so we can travel around the country into Wales, a business I can take wherever and whenever I want to go. We're hoping to do 40 to 50 deliveries per week, and we're also hoping to cater for private functions and weddings, as well as delivery all around Stoke and Newcastle. We can also do deliveries to Woodlow, Prestbury, Holmes Chapel and Nantwich, and we want to deliver to those Cheshire areas because they don't get to experience food like this." Talking about how the business came to fruition, Frank added, "9 years ago, I went to Thailand and I met a beautiful woman named Ratri Arroy, who I made my wife. She lives in England now and she's hardworking and works from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in a warehouse packing, and then she comes home and cooks and loves doing this job until 9 p.m. We wanted to start last year, but I was focused on the gardening, but I've decided now that it's time to start chilling out and doing this." A strange way to chill out. Anyway, over to Uta, who's going to do the next story for us now in Batch 5.
Right, well, Stoke-on-Trent City Council will gain £16.8 million. Well, why? Well, the government has agreed a £16.8 million bailout loan for cash-strapped Stoke-on-Trent City Council. Council leaders made the request for further exceptional financial support, having already received £42.2 million in EFS over the last 2 years. Stoke-on-Trent will be one of 30 councils in England to receive EFS in 2025 or 2026, the government has announced. EFS is effectively a loan which councils can use to cover their revenue spending on services, something which is not normally allowed. The money will have to be paid back along with interest, typically through the sale of land or buildings. The City Council plans to use £11 million on the EFS to plug a hole in its 2025-2026 budget related to children in care placements, with a further £3 million to set to be invested into transforming services. But £2.8 million will go towards paying the interest on the previous £42.2 million on or off EFS borrowing. Cabinet members formally recommended their final budget proposals, including a 4.99% tax hike and £7.5 million of savings, at a meeting earlier this week. The full council will be asked to approve the budget on March the 4th. A cabinet report warned that if the EFS was not granted, the council would have to cut pretty much everything that we are not legally obliged to provide. Council leaders insist that a plan to improve the authority's finances by reducing demand for children's social care has started to yield results. Alistair Watson, Cabinet Member for Financial Sustainability and Corporate Resources at the City Council, said, "The financial issues we are facing are not of our making. More than a decade of austerity has left us with £97 million less to invest, that's pounds, less to invest in services in 2024 and 2025 compared to 2010 and 2011 in the face of great demand. Nonetheless, significant strides have been made, both in reducing the need for extraordinary financial support and in tackling the long-term issues facing this council, which have both a financial and social cost for the city. We have, for example, seen a reduction in the number of children in care through partnership working and more effectively early intervention. We are on the right path. This news will allow us more certainty to push on with our plans and focus all our attention on delivering better services and better outcomes at a lower cost for the people of Stoke-on-Trent. Stoke-on-Trent City Council's EFS package will be far from the largest in 2025-2026. Bradford City Council is set to receive £127.1 million, while crisis-hit Birmingham will get £180 million. The government says it has made EFS borrowing cheaper for councils through the removal of a 1% premium on interest payments. This year's support packages will also include instructions that councils should not sell off community and heritage assets in order to pay back their loans. Minister of State for Local Government and English Devolution Jim McMahon said, "We are under no illusion of the state of council finances and have been clear from the outset on our commitment to get councils back on their feet and rebuild the foundation of local government. We are working with local leaders, encouraging councils to come in confidence where needed to seek help and be assured we will offer a relationship of partnership, not punishment, in our joint mission to improve public services for communities and create economic stability as set out in our plan for change."
Wonderful. So I've got something a bit more grisly now. Axe-wielding woman chased man through Hanley as bystanders laughed. A woman was seen on CCTV wielding an axe as she chased after a man in Hanley while a group of bystanders laughed. Chloe Melbourne was arrested by police in the city centre but ran off and remained at large for 4 days. But the 28-year-old was detained for a second time after she was seen and heard outside Burslem Police Station arguing with a man before she'd held an axe above her head. Now Melbourne has been jailed for 16 months at Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court. Prosecutor Ala Farnsworth said CCTV operators alerted police to the defendant chasing after a man in Stafford Street in Hanley at 3 p.m. on May the 7th last year. Miss Farnsworth said she produced an axe and pursued him. A group of men were laughing at this as it was happening. The Crown accepted that there was no risk of her causing serious harm. She was later arrested and denied having an axe, and she ran away. The court heard that at 10:45 a.m. on May the 11th, Melbourne was heard shouting and having arguments with a man outside Burslem Police Station. Miss Fawnsworth said she removed an axe and held it over his head. The man shouted, "Go on, do it." He was spoken to. He said he'd been threatened by the defendant. Police chased the defendant, but she made off on foot. She was arrested in a nearby garden. The axe was found in the bag that she was carrying. She escaped custody on the first occasion and was at large at the time of the second incident. Melbourne, of no fixed address, pleaded guilty to two charges of possession of a bladed article in public, escaping from lawful custody and failing to surrender to bail. Anis Ali, mitigating, said Melbourne was affected by the use of illicit substances. Mr. Ali said the incidents were relatively short-lived in duration. She regrets her behaviour. Recorder Robert Smith said, "Having an axe in the street in the city centre is a serious matter. The police attended, you were spoken to and given a false name and false date of birth. You ran off from the police while the officer searched your bag. You were not handcuffed as he had taken a compassionate approach as you appeared upset." He said the escape was opportunist. Recorder Smith added, "On May the 11th, you were having an argument with a man in the vicinity of Burslem Police Station. At 10:45 a.m, you removed an axe from the rear of your clothing and held it over your head while shouting. There was a serious risk of disorder and you were detained nearby." The judge ordered the forfeiture and destruction of the axe. So over to Uta, who's going to do the last story for us.
I think I did already too.
Have you done them?
Yeah.
I'm out of sync.
I can do new ones.
No, it's fine. We've done our four stories. I'm going a bit loopy. I'm going to have a cup of tea and then we'll back with you for batch number 6.